أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Inshallah, after the remaining dua, the Dars al-Quran will be imparted in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wahdah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة فعلم ما في قلوبهم فأنزل السكينة عليهم وأثابهم فتحا قريبا ومغانم كثيرة يأخذونها وكان الله عزيزا حكيما وعدكم الله مغانم كثيرة تأخذونها فعجل لكم هذه وكف أيدي الناس عنكم ولتكون آية للمؤمنين ويهديكم صراطا مستقيما وأخرى لم تقدروا عليها قد أحاط الله بها وكان الله على كل شيء قديرا صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين الله سبحانه وتعالى was well pleased with the mu'mineen, the believers. إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ when they pledged their allegiance to you تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ beneath the tree فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah Ta'ala knew what was in their hearts. فَأَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ Allah Ta'ala sent tranquility to them. وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا and rewarded them with a victory close at hand. وَمَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً يَأْخُذُونَهَا and Allah Ta'ala will also reward them with abundant spoils of war that they will take. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Almighty, the All-Wise. وَعَدَكُمُ اللَّهُ مَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً تَأْخُذُونَهَا Allah ta'ala promises you abundant spoils of war that you can have. فَعَجَّلَ لَكُمْ هَذِهِ He gave this to you sooner. وَكَفَّ أَيْدِيَ النَّاسِ عَنْكُمْ And he restrained people's hands from you. وَلِتَكُونَ آيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ And this is to be a sign for the believers. وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا And so that Allah Ta'ala may guide you to the straight path. وَأُخْرَى And there are still other victories, لَمْ تَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهَا that you have not yet been able to attain. قَدْ أَحَاطَ اللَّهُ بِهَا which are well within Allah Ta'ala's power. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرًا And Allah Ta'ala has always had power over everything. We have reached verse number 18 of Surah Al-Fath. From here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the praise of those who participated in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And likewise, the favors which had been destined for them as a result of being the participants of this treaty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was well pleased with the mu'mineen when they pledged their allegiance to you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beneath the tree. Allah Ta'ala was well pleased with the mu'mineen. The mu'mineen here refers to those approximate 1500 companions of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who despite all the possible concerns, they joined Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his journey when he invited them to embark on this journey towards Makkatul Mukarramah to perform Umrah. And after reaching Hudaybiyah and passing through different stages in this journey, at one stage there was a possibility that a battle would take place with the non-Muslims of Makkatul Mukarramah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he demanded from the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in that they place their hands in the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they pledge their allegiance to him, that they will be part of this battle against the non-Muslims. Now the reason why this was a great sacrifice on behalf of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in was because, number one, they were many miles away from their homeland of Madinatul Munawwara. So they were many miles away from their homeland, and the group with whom they were about to engage in war, they were only a few miles away from their homeland. If the battle took place in Hudaybiyah, the Muslims were very far away from Medina Munawwara, and the people of Makkah were very close to Hudaybiyah. Number two, as far as the Muslims were concerned, then they did not possess any provisions of war. They were wearing the clothes of Ihram. So they had no armor. They had no helmets. And likewise, they had no weapons also. The only thing which they possessed was one sword, which was in its sheath. And in those times, if somebody traveled with one sword, this was not regarded as a threat. This is why when the Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place, one of the clauses were, which was set by the non-Muslims of Makkatul Mukarramah, they set this clause that next year you will be allowed to come to Makkatul Mukarramah and perform Umrah. And when you will come to perform Umrah next year, you are permitted to come to Makkatul Mukarramah with one sword in its sheath,
Which means that to travel with one sword, this was not regarded as a threat by the Muslims, and it was not regarded as a threat by the non-Muslims also. This was something completely normal in those days. So this was the second point. The first point was they were miles away from their homeland. They were in foreign territory. Number two, they had no provisions for war. And the Makkans, they had all the provisions. They had armor also, and they had the weapons also. And number three, the Muslims were less in number in comparison to the non-Muslims. So even when it came to manpower, they had less. And number four, because they were many miles away from the homeland, if there was going to be a need to call for reinforcements, it would have taken a very long time. To send a message in those days, you would have to send a messenger to Madinatul Munawwara. So somebody would have had to travel to Madina Munawwara, call for reinforcements, then they have to travel to Hudaybiyah. And over here, the Quraysh were already near Makkatul Mukarramah. And Makkatul Mukarramah was surrounded by many tribes who were all disbelievers. But despite of all of this, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, that place your hand in my hand and pledge your allegiance, that you will not flee from the battle, then not even a single one of those Sahaba hesitated in pledging their allegiance. Every single Sahabi pledged his allegiance. According to one opinion, there were 1,300. According to a second opinion, 1,400. And according to a third opinion, 1,500. And the reason why there was a difference of opinion with regards to the number is because there was no head count which was made. A head count would only take place if the Muslims were going to leave with the intention of waging war. Because here there was no intention of engaging in a battle, so the numbers were not counted. They were not counted before also, they were not counted there also, and they were not counted when they returned to Medina also. So when the various companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they speak about the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, then they give an estimate that approximately this is how many individuals participated in this particular expedition. So this verse, verse number 18, in it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pays testimony to two facts with regards to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Number one, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ. And number two, عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was well pleased. So the first testimony that the Quran pays fact with regards to these Sahaba who participated in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. Which is a great achievement for a human being. In this world, if our teacher says that I have become pleased with you, we regard this as an achievement. And if somebody who is very noble, somebody who is very pious, somebody who we look up to, if he says, I have become pleased with you. Here Allah Ta'ala is saying, and he is mentioning it in the Quran. And when Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran that I have become pleased with you, then Allama Ibn Abdul Barr Baniki Rahimahullahu Ta'ala says that this means that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never become displeased with this person again. Because Allah Ta'ala knows the future of every human and every individual. So if Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala knew that right now they are participating in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, but after 5 years, this particular individual is going to leave Islam, then Allah Ta'ala would have never mentioned this with regards to them in the Quran, because the Quran is going to remain forever. So once Allah Ta'ala has said that He has become pleased with the Sahaba, this means that now Allah Ta'ala is never going to become displeased with them again. And anil mu'mineen, Allah Ta'ala also pays testimony to the iman, that they are mu'mineen. Allah Ta'ala did not say that Allah Ta'ala has become pleased with those who traveled with you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who participated in the Battle of Badr, in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. No, he said, anil mu'mineen, which means that this is also another certificate they have been granted, that they are the people of iman. And they have been mentioned as mu'mineen in the Quran, which means now, this iman is not going to leave their hearts. So, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And an amazing coincidence which took place on this occasion was that just before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in to pledge their allegiance, before they received the news, the rumor that Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has been martyred. So just before this, there was one munafiq and one hypocrite who had also traveled with the believers. So this group of approximately 1300 to 1500, they were all believers besides one. There was one munafiq, one hypocrite, whose name was Ja'ad bin Qais Ansari. He was known as an Ansari because from the apparent he showed as though he was a mu'min and a believer. Otherwise, he was not really from the Ansar in the eyes of Allah. So it so happened that his camel was misplaced. He lost his camel. So he went out in search of his camel. And as he went out in search of his camel, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here made the announcement that because this rumor has reached us that Uthman has been martyred, we are going to fight against the non-Muslims, so pledge your allegiance. So every Sahabi came forward and they pledged their allegiance. And as a result, the Quran says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that Allah has become pleased with those mu'mineen, إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ, who pledge their allegiance to you, تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَ, under the tree. So that munafiq and that hypocrite missed out on this opportunity. Allah Ta'ala kept him engaged in looking for his camel, and only after this entire incident came to an end did he return back. Because Allah Ta'ala knew that this ayat is going to be revealed regarding these people. Otherwise, if he also pledged allegiance, then he would have also been part of this ayah. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says He was well pleased with the believers, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, when they pledged their allegiance to you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tahta shajarati, under the tree. This is why this particular pledge, it is known as Bay'atul Ridwan also. Bay'atul Ridwan, that bay'ah, that pledge, due to which Allah Ta'ala became pleased with those who were part of the pledge, Ridwan. And it is also known as Bay'atu Shajara. Shajara means tree. So because this pledge took place under a tree, and Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullahu Ta'ala in Ma'ariful Quran writes that it was Babul ki darakht, or Kikar ki darakht. And in the English translation, they have mentioned that this is a tree which is known as Mimosa Arabica, or the gum acacia tree, for those who are in the trees and who like to study trees, this is for them. So the gum acacia tree. So it's known as Bay'atul Ridwan also, and it's known as Bay'atul Shajara also. And part of these mu'minun and these believers were the Khulafa'i Rashidin also. As far as Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, all three pledged their allegiance. They were all already present. So the Khulafa'i Rashidin, from them, three of them were present. And as far as Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was concerned, although he did not practically participate in this bay'ah, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is a possibility that Uthman is still alive. So because there is a possibility that Uthman is still alive, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu enjoys this privilege that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used his own hand and said that this is the hand of Uthman. Otherwise, somebody could have later on said that this ayah is in its place, that Allah ta'ala became pleased with the mu'mineen, but it doesn't include Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because Uthman radiallahu anhu was not present. So through this action, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu cannot be singled out. He is also present, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried out this action. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on that occasion that hadihi yadu Uthman, this is the hand of Uthman. And there were certain sahaba, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, who pledged their allegiance at the beginning also, in the middle also, and at the end also. Three times. This was the zeal they had. And the likes of Salama ibn al-Aqwa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a very young sahabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed him and said to him that, Ala tubayyi'uni, will you not pledge your allegiance to me? So upon this, Salama ibn al-Aqwa radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, I have already pledged my allegiance to you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So upon this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, come forward and pledge your allegiance again. So in this manner, three times Salama ibn al-Aqwa radiallahu ta'ala anhu also pledged his allegiance on this particular occasion. And the barakat and the blessings of this was seen in the lives of these companions during the latter portions of their lives, from which we can learn a very important lesson that when there is a occasion in our life when we have the opportunity to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there is a demand from Sharia, then if at that time we were to stand up to try and carry out that particular task, whether later on we have to carry out that task or we don't have to carry out that task. For example, an announcement is made that there is a need for 50 volunteers for a particular task. And 15 to 20 people, they give in their names. And a few hours later, a message is sent that now there is no need for volunteers anymore. For whatever reason, we are not going to carry out that particular task that we are going to carry out. But those 15 to 20 who gave their names, who made the intention, even though they are not going to now carry out that task, but Allah Ta'ala will still reward them and they will still see the barakat and blessings of that, because of the intention that they had made. So even on this occasion, after pledging allegiance, no war took place, no battle took place. But at that time, this was the test. Because at that time, if you are giving your hand, this meant that I am ready to participate in the battle. Whereas there was going to be no battle. So sometimes Allah Ta'ala tests the believers in this way also, that He just wants to see, are you ready or not? Just like we are passing through the month of Hajj. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, he saw the dream that I am slaughtering my son. So he perceived from here that Allah Ta'ala wants me to slaughter my son. Whereas Allah Ta'ala was only testing him. When he did everything which was in his control, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that, no, this was not the reality. I wasn't really going to make you slaughter your son. I just wanted to see that, are you prepared to do that which I am commanding you to do? So sometimes in life, Allah ta'ala will test us in this way also. That he just wants to see that, are we prepared or not? And once he sees that, yes, we are prepared, then he will not make us dive into that ocean. But because we showed our willingness to carry out that particular task, then Allah ta'ala will reward us just as if we have carried out that task. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned great virtues with regards to these sahaba. It is the unanimous verdict of the ulama of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, right from the time of the sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, that the most virtuous of this ummah are those sahaba who participated in the Battle of Badr. Those who participated in the Battle of Badr, they enjoy the highest rank amongst all the believers of this ummah. And after them, number two are those who participated in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. They participated in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, and thereafter they also participated in this bay'ah, which is known as Bay'atul Ridwan. And regarding them, Sayyiduna Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that there were 1400 of us. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the field of Hudaybiyah, he addressed us and he said to us, Antum khayru ahlil ardi. That from all the people that are on earth, you are the best of its people. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this to them, that you are the best of all the people. And Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi has narrated a hadith in which Umm Bishr radiyallahu ta'ala anha says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, La yadkhulun nara ahadun mimman baya'a tahta shajarati. That from amongst those who pledged allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under the tree, not a single one of them will enter Jahannam. So both of these are great virtues. The number one, they have been classified as the best of the people on earth. And number two, they have also been given this guarantee that they will not enter Jahannam. And when does this happen? This happens when a person is willing to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even for us in these verses, the lesson is that whenever there is a demand of Sharia, whatever it may be, whether it is Salah, whether it's Zakah, whether it's Hajj, whether it's fasting in the month of Ramadan, whether it's controlling our eyes, whether it's controlling our tongue, whether it's refraining from lying, whether it's refraining from deceiving, whether it's refraining from cheating, whether it's obeying one's parents, whatever the demand is, then at that time, if we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill that demand of Sharia, we will also become deserving of rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. That's the lesson. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was well pleased with the mu'mineen. Now, the question here is, that was Allah ta'ala not pleased with these sahaba before? So the answer is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was already pleased with the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. But this particular action, when they pledged their allegiance to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under the tree, this particular action was such that on this occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became pleased with the sahaba, and this pleasure elevated itself to this extent that now Allah ta'ala is saying that until now I was pleased with you. But now I am pleased with you in such a manner that I will never become displeased with you again. So until now, Allah was pleased with you. Now Allah Ta'ala is saying that I will be pleased with you for eternity. So, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala knew what was in their hearts. So the actual order here is that when the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in pledged allegiance to you, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, under the tree, at that time Allah Ta'ala knew what was in the hearts of the Sahaba, and as a result Allah Ta'ala then became pleased with the mu'minin. Otherwise somebody who understands Arabic may think to himself that why is it that Allah Ta'ala is first saying he became pleased and thereafter he knew what was in their hearts. So that's not the order. The order is first he knew what was in their hearts and then he became pleased with them. And what was in the hearts of the Sahaba? Ikhlas, number one. Ikhlas was in their hearts. There was sincerity. Number two, lillahiyat. That whatever they were doing only for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. There was no other motive. Number three, tawakkul. They had reliance in Allah. That if we fulfill whatever Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala orders and commands from us, then Allah Ta'ala will most definitely reward us and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will not let our efforts go to waste. So there was tawakkul. And there was i'timad. There was firm conviction. They had firm conviction in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. There was no doubt that we are obeying Allah Ta'ala, but there is a possibility that things could go well, but there is also a possibility things could go wrong. When a person does not have i'timad, then he has these doubts. There is an opportunity for him to, for example, he wants to spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala in a certain cause. So he thinks to himself that if I was to spend in this particular cause, there's a possibility that I will gain barakah. But there's also a possibility that everything could go pear-shaped. So shall I spend, shall I not spend? But these sahaba, they had firm conviction that by obeying Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, definitely at the end of the road, they will be success for us. And together with these qualities, there was also khawf, there was also fear. Now this fear was natural. There was this natural fear that we are going to wage war and we are going to engage in battle against these non-Muslims. We are far away from our land. We are less in number. They have more resources. So naturally there was this fear. But because despite of this natural fear, regarding which there is nothing wrong, to have natural fear there is nothing wrong. This is normal. This is why when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam saw his staff turn into a snake, he also feared and he began to run. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, la takhaf, don't fear. So look, fear, this is not against being a prophet of Allah Ta'ala also. Because a prophet is also a human and it's natural for a human that if he sees a snake, he fears. So when you are less in number, naturally there's going to be that fear. So there was that natural fear in the Sahaba. But despite of that natural fear, they still without hesitation pledged their allegiance. With firm tawakkul and reliance, with full i'timad and conviction, and full ikhlas and sincerity. Now when they did this, then what does Allah Ta'ala say? فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Due to this, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala sent down sakina and tranquility upon them. So when Allah Ta'ala sent down this sakina and this tranquility, the result of this sakina and this tranquility was such that natural khawf and that natural fear which was in their heart, that natural khawf and natural fear was taken out of their hearts. Now there was no fear. Now they were willing to fight against the enemy. And such was the result of this sakina and tranquility that the khawf and the fear left their hearts and it was transferred into the hearts of the Meccans and the non-Muslims. So now the fear was on that side. And the fear on that side was so much that despite them having more manpower, despite them having more weapons, despite them being in their homeland, they didn't think to themselves that let's fight these Muslims. There's only approximately 1,500 of them. We can annihilate them. No, they thought to themselves that the better option for us is to engage in a peace treaty with them. So, فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. This is one meaning of فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. That the fear left the Muslims. And even this, when Allah Ta'ala sent down His Sakina on them, the fear that they had, the natural fear, it was removed from their hearts to this extent that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam later on said, and now Allah Ta'ala is saying there is no need for war because Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is alive. So we are not going to wage war against them. So now come out of Ihram. So none of them came out of Ihram. Otherwise, they could have become happy that Alhamdulillah, we don't have to fight. We didn't want to fight anyway. And now the Quran is saying you don't have to fight. So we've got away with it and we'll get the reward also. But what did they do? They remained in Ihram. Meaning that zeal was such and the fear had been removed from their hearts such that they said that we still want to, even if there's still a possibility that Allah may reveal another ayah saying that yes, you can wage war. So this is one. And a second meaning of فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ is that as far as the treaty was concerned, then in the treaty, we know that every clause was extremely weak as far as the Muslims were concerned. They were all, in the apparent, every clause was in favor of the non-Muslims. But despite of this, because Allah Ta'ala sent down this sakina and tranquility upon their hearts, every single sahabi had complete satisfaction that at the end, there is only going to be benefit for us, the Muslims. Otherwise, if that treaty was in front of us, and Allah Ta'ala did not send down sakina, then definitely there would have been doubts that what's happening here? Everything is in favor of the non-Muslims. But no, because as a result of sakina, this is the blessing of sakina, that when Allah Ta'ala sends down sakina, then a person feels satisfied. And number three, when Abu Jandal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was imprisoned by the non-Muslims and he was shackled in his chains, and somehow he managed to get into that part of Hudaybiyah where the Muslims were. And he came and threw himself into the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So at that time, this particular clause was being negotiated. Suhail bin Amr said that if somebody accepts Islam and comes to you, then you will have to return him back to us. You will have to return him back to us. Now, Abu Jandal came at that very time and he threw himself into the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still negotiating this particular clause. Suhail bin Amr said that if anybody from us comes to you as a Muslim, then you will have to return him back to us. The first person who we are demanding is my own son, Abu Jandal. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as far as this clause is concerned, we are still negotiating on this clause. We have not even accepted it. The words which we find is that Suhail bin Amr on that occasion said, هَذَا أَوَّلُ مَا أُقَاذِيكَ يَا مُحَمَّدٍ. That this is the first person who we are demanding from you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That return Abu Jandal back to us. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَمْ نَقْدِ الْكِتَابَ بَعْدُ. That we haven't even agreed upon this clause yet. So upon this, Suhail bin Amr said that you will have to return him back to us, otherwise the treaty is cancelled. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, just this one person, Just let us keep Abu Jandal. After this, if anybody else comes to us, we will return him. But Suhail bin Amr said, no. You will have to return him. Now Suhail bin Amr, when he said this, Abu Jandal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was saying that, أَتُرَدُّ وَقَدْ جِئْتُ مُسْلِمًا. That are you going to return me where I have come to you as a Muslim? So just imagine at that time, that an individual who has embraced Islam, he has come to you and you know how he is being tortured in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And you have to return him back. How difficult it must have been. But even Abu Jandal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was returned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not a slight amount of decrease came into his iman also. He didn't think to himself that what's the point of this religion when they are returning me back to the enemy? Let me leave Islam. No, this was a result of sakina. That when Allah ta'ala sends down sakina upon a person, even in such a critical condition, he does not leave Islam. Just think for a moment that at that time, if you are returned back to the enemy and you have been punished there for so many months or so many years, and your own people are returning you back, you know, nobody knows the whole story, what's going to happen in the future. So how testing was this moment? But this is all a result of the sakina which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down upon them, which was one of the great gifts which Allah ta'ala blessed the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in as a result of being the participants of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So فَأَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded them with a victory close at hand, وَمَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً يَأْخُذُونَهَا, and abundant spoils of war that they will take. Now from here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making reference to the conquest of Khaybar. The conquest of Khaybar. So we've already seen up till here the benefits which the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in received due to being the participants of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. After the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, now these are all the other benefits which they received. So the conquest of Khaybar. As far as Khaybar is concerned, Khaybar is 100 miles from Madinatul Munawwara, approximately. And as far as Makkatul Mukarramah is concerned, when a person is in Madinatul Munawwara, then Makkatul Mukarramah is in the south and Khaybar is in the north. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached Madinatul Munawwara, Madinatul Munawwara was now an established Islamic state. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the leader. So the Jewish tribes, the tribe Banu Nadir, Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Qurayza, Banu Haritha, all of these tribes, they established a treaty with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Muslims. And the foundation in a peace treaty is that we will not wage war against you and you will not wage war against us. We will not assist your enemies and you will not assist our enemies. We will not assist your enemies against you and you will not assist our enemies against us. This is the foundation in a peace treaty. Now from these tribes, one of the tribes, Banu Nadir, they made a plan, and in that plan they attempted to assassinate our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But this secret of theirs was divulged. And when this secret was divulged, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he laid siege on them, he surrounded them. And when he surrounded them, then they themselves surrendered. So there was no need for a war. Without war, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba, the Muslims, they managed to liberate that part of the land where the Banu Nadir Jewish tribe were residing. So they managed to conquer this land without any war whatsoever. Because Allah ta'ala overawed them And when he overawed them, they surrendered. And they handed over their land. When they surrendered, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exiled them from Madinatul Munawwara. He exiled them and they went and took refuge in Khaybar. They took refuge in Khaybar. Thereafter, in the month of Muharram, remember the Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place in Dhul Qa'dah. So after Dhul Qa'dah, you have Dhul Hijjah, then you have Muharram. Only approximately 2.5 months. In Muharram, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes this announcement that as far as the south was concerned, the great force and the great power in the south was the Quraysh of Makkatul Mukarrama. We have already dealt with them and the Treaty of Hudaybiyah has taken place. Now there is one force remaining which is in the north, which is in Khaybar. So we are going to go to Khaybar and we are going to liberate Khaybar. So in the month of Muharram, this announcement was made. The Muslims, they reached Khaybar, and after reaching Khaybar, they surrounded the fort of Khaybar. There was one main fort, and thereafter there were many other fortresses. The non-Muslims, the Jews, they were behind these forts. The Muslims laid siege, meaning that they surrounded the fort. And they were waiting, but they were waiting for many days. And they had very less food also. So they had to spend much time with hunger. But despite of this, they made the sacrifice. In the month of Safar, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one night or one evening, he made this announcement that enough is enough. We have been waiting for many days now. Tomorrow morning, we are going to conquer Khaybar. And the words which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأُعْتِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا. Tomorrow I will most definitely give the flag to such an individual. مَنْ يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Who loves Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And in return Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also love him. So he himself is the lover of Allah and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is also the beloved of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَفْتَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. Allah Ta'ala will conquer Khaybar upon his hands. So the entire night, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in spent with restlessness. Why? Because they knew that whoever receives the flag tomorrow, he is going to gain this certificate. Which Muslim will not want this certificate that Allah and his Nabi loves him and he loves Allah and his Rasul? This is why Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that in my entire life, despite Umar radiallahu anhu later becoming Amirul Mu'mineen, when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was leaving this world, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to the Muslims that after my demise, you make the leader either Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah or Umar radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the second Amirul Mu'mineen. But even Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that in my entire life, I never had this desire and I never aspired to be a leader. But that was the one night when even I desired that if Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gives me the flag. Not because he wanted to be the leader, but he wanted this certificate. So in the morning, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the Sahaba, they were all anticipating that who will receive the flag. And they were also raising their heads up high that maybe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's gaze may fall on me and he may call me forward. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not call any of those on whom his eyes fell on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aina Ali? Where is Ali? So they said, Ali is somewhere right at the back and he is lying down because he has an eye infection. There is much water coming out from his eye. So there is great pain in his eye, so he is resting. Ali radiallahu anhu himself says, that when the Muslims left Medina Munawwara for Khaybar, I didn't join them because of my health. But then I thought to myself that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in jihad and I am here in Medina Munawwara. This doesn't feel right. So I came from behind. Otherwise, initially, I wasn't even part of the group. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba that, call Ali, bring him forward. Ali radiallahu anhu came forward. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out his blessed saliva and he placed it in the eye of Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu says that instantly I was cured. And he says, thereafter I could see better with that eye. And I never felt any pain in that eye again. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given the flag. And Khaybar was conquered. Without much resistance from the non-Muslims. And Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that when the Muslims were in Khaybar, we in Madinatul Munawwara, the talk of the town was that if the Muslims were to conquer Khaybar, then after the conquest of Khaybar, we will be able to fill our stomachs with dates. She is saying this in the sixth year after Hijrah, which means that until the sixth year after Hijrah, the Sahaba, their financial situation was such that they did not even have enough to fill their stomachs with dates. Forget meat or anything else. Even as far as dates were concerned, they would only have one or two dates. Just enough to live. They couldn't even fill their stomachs. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that after Khaybar was conquered, thereafter, we were able to fill our stomachs with dates. This was the simplicity which the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in lived with. So this is also something to ponder over. That when we look at our financial circumstances, each and every one of us is a millionaire. The amount that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, sometimes we just need to read the lives of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in to understand how much Allah ta'ala has granted us. But despite of this, because they understood the reality of this world and the reality of the akhirah, the happiness and the enjoyment that they experienced in their poverty, you and I do not experience that enjoyment and happiness in our wealth. And I further say that the happiness and the enjoyment that they experienced in their sicknesses, you and I don't experience that happiness and enjoyment in our health. And even more, the happiness and the enjoyment that the Sahaba experienced in dying, you and I do not experience in living. So we need to understand the reality of this dunya and the reality of the akhirah. As far as the world is concerned, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us enough. From the 24 hours, how many minutes do we take out for akhirah? And how many minutes do we take out for the dunya and the world? The majority of us will come to this conclusion that all our time is for dunya. Akhirah is a side thing. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us, we fail straight away. We will only obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when everything is rosy. The moment there is a test, we fail. We think that, no, it's going to be too difficult. I can't practice upon deen anymore. Now, Sahaba here, they couldn't even fill their stomachs with dates, but they didn't think to themselves that what's the point of practicing upon deen? وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ Allah Ta'ala says there are people, they stay on the fence. They worship Allah Ta'ala, they remain on the edge. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٍ اِطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ If when practicing upon the deen, everything is pleasant, they will carry on practicing upon deen. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِ But as soon as practicing upon deen becomes difficult, they turn away from deen. That we don't want this deen. It's too difficult. So وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا Within a few months, وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He granted the Sahaba رِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ and rewarded them with a victory close at hand. They didn't even have to wait for 2 years or 3 years, one entire year. Within a few months, after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, they conquered Khaybar. وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. And after conquering Khaybar, close to Khaybar, there was another place called Fadak. So as far as Fadak was concerned, the people who lived in Fadak, when they saw how the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in have conquered Khaybar, they also became overawed by the Muslims. And when they became overawed, they themselves handed over their entire land to the Muslims, and they also surrendered. So without any war, even this place was conquered, the land of Fadak. And they said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you can have our land and we will go and live somewhere else. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that no, there is no need for this. You carry on living there. But because now we have liberated you also, you will work during the year. And upon the completion of the year, you will distribute your produce into two. 50% you will keep for yourself and the remaining 50% will be for us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the same to the people of Khaybar also. That you carry on working there. End of the year, 50% of the produce for you, 50% is for us. So at the end of the year, when the Muslims would go to demand their produce, their 50%, what the Muslims would do is they would say to these Jews that you choose which 50% you want and thereafter give the remaining 50% to us. You can have first choice. So upon this, the Jews used to make this remark and say that it is because of this justice that the heavens and the earth are still intact. Otherwise, you and I would have said that we'll take first choice. But despite being in the position of authority, the Muslims still gave the Jews first choice, which had a great impact on these Jewish individuals also. So the place of Fadak was also conquered. So you had Khaybar, which was conquered. When Khaybar was conquered, because it was conquered as a result of a war, then whatever spoils of war the Muslims receive, this is called Mali Ghanimat. And when you receive Mali Ghanimat, then it will be distributed amongst the Muslims. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also received a share from there. And as far as Fadak was concerned, because the people surrendered and they handed it over without war, then this is called Mali Fai. And Mali Fai means that everything now is in the control of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's in his possession. He can do whatever he wants with it. It doesn't have to be distributed amongst the Muslims. And the land of Banu Nadir, because they also surrendered and that was also liberated, then these three lands, these properties, they were part of the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam leaves the world, because the ruling is that the heirs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will not inherit anything he has left behind, then this will now not be given to the inheritors, rather it will be given to what is known as Baytul Mal, the public treasury. So all this then went into the public treasury. And after this, a third conquest took place, which was the conquest of the Wadi al-Qura. As far as Wadi al-Qura was concerned, these people, they didn't surrender also, and they were not willing to embrace Islam also. So a small battle took place, and as a result, Wadi al-Qura was also conquered. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا, that we rewarded them with a victory close at hand, and وَمَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً يَأْخُذُونَهَا, that abundant spoils of war that they will take. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Allah Ta'ala is the Almighty. I've mentioned this before as well, that when Allah Ta'ala ends an ayah with his attributes, there is a connection between the ayah. It's not that Allah Ta'ala just mentions any attributes. So Allah Ta'ala is the Almighty. In here there is an indication that because Allah Ta'ala is the Almighty, if Allah Ta'ala wished, on the occasion of Treaty of Hudaybiyah, he could have made you engage in a war with the people of Makkah and he could have given you victory there. But he is Hakim, he is the All-Wise. He knew that if I give them victory there, then all these other things wouldn't have happened. So because Allah Ta'ala wanted to give you all of this and he is the All-Wise, over there he made the treaty take place, And thereafter, as a result of the treaty, look at everything you got in return. So trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trust the process. In life, if you think to yourself that, why is Allah ta'ala doing this to me? No. You carry on obeying Allah, carry on worshipping Allah, carry on doing what you are supposed to do, carry on refraining from sin. Allah ta'ala is the all-wise. He has planned something much greater for you in the future. One wisdom was that because of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Muslims, they gained a moral victory. And Allah ta'ala created this environment of a moral victory. And for any mission to progress, gaining a moral victory is very important. So when the Sahaba, they were willing to accept every clause of the treaty, this left a great impression on the hearts of the non-Muslims that look at the akhlaq and the characteristics of these people. They have accepted everything. They have not argued with us, they have not debated with us. And number two, the second wisdom was that if at the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, if the war took place, then the Muslims would not have received all of this booty and all the spoils of war which they received in Khaybar and in Fadak and in Wadi al-Qura. And number three, if a war took place there in Treaty of Hudaybiyah, it's possible many of the Sahaba would have lost their lives. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them from all of this. So He's Aziz also and He is Hakim also. He is powerful also and He is wise also. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَدَكُمُ اللَّهُ مَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً تَأْخُذُونَهَا. That Allah ta'ala promises you abundant spoils of war that you can have. So in here Allah ta'ala is speaking about all the victories now until the day of Qiyamah. The battle of Hunayn, Ta'if, all the victories during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. All of those victories Allah ta'ala is promising, He is mentioning here. And He says, فَعَجَّلَ لَكُمْ هَذِهِ. He gave this one to you soon. Why? Because you were in need. So because of your poor state, Allah ta'ala gave you this Khaybar very soon and very quickly. وَكَفَّ أَيْدِيَ النَّاسِ عَنْكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He restrained people's hands from you. Now what does this mean that He restrained people's hands from you? From the Treaty of Hudaybiyah until Khaybar was conquered, He restrained people's hands from you. The first meaning is that the non-Muslims in Makkatul Mukarramah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He overawed them. And as a result, they were not prepared to fight the Muslims. And rather, they were willing to establish a peace treaty. So none of the Sahaba were killed. This is number one, that Allah ta'ala restrained their hands from you. Otherwise, they could have been prepared to fight you. And you would have lost many people. A second meaning is that during that journey, when the Muslims left Medina Munawwara, approximately 1500 of them, then this thought crossed the disbelievers who were living around Madinatul Munawwara that it's going to take them at least 10 days to reach Makkah, at least 10 days to return. So for at least 20 days, this 1500 are not going to be in Medina, who are the cream of the Muslims. So let's attack the Muslims of Madinatul Munawwara. Because all the main soldiers and the main men have left Medina. So this is a great opportunity for us to wipe out whoever is left in Madinatul Munawwara. But again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overawed them. And despite this thought crossing their mind, they didn't have the courage to go to Medina and wipe out the people of Medina Munawwara. And a third meaning that Allah ta'ala restrained the hands of the people from you is that when in Khaybar, when the people of Khaybar, they were under siege, then there were two tribes of the Jews, the Banu Asad tribe and the Banu Ghatfan tribe, who were the allies of the people of Khaybar. So they decided to leave their localities and go and assist the people of Khaybar. But as they left to assist the people of Khaybar, this thought crossed their mind and they began to receive rumors that somebody has attacked your land. So the Banu Ghatfan tribe and the Banu Asad tribe, they both returned back. When they returned back, they saw that nothing has happened. But Allah Ta'ala places fear in their hearts also that what if we go and assist the people of Khaybar and somebody attacks our people? So they also didn't go. So in this way, Allah Ta'ala restrained the hands of the people from the Sahaba in this way also. So these are three meanings of وَكَفَّ أَيْدِيَ النَّاسِ عَنْكُمْ. And thereafter Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions that the wisdom behind all of this that we have granted you, one wisdom is the worldly benefit, that due to your poverty, you conquered all of these lands and you received all the spoils of war. And the benefit of deen is وَلِتَكُونَ آيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that so that this may become a sign for the believers until the day of Qiyamah. That whoever will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will reward him in this manner and will grant him much barakah in his life, in this world also and in the akhirah also. وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. And when a person will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will grant him such hidayah that in future he will be granted the ability to do even greater things. And he will be able to make greater achievements from a deeni point of view. And finally, وَأُخْرَى لَمْ تَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهَا. وَأُخْرَى, over here now, Allah ta'ala is speaking about the conquest of Makkah al-Mukarramah. That there are still others, meaning other victories, لَمْ تَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهَا, that you have not yet been able to attain. قَدْ أَحَاطَ اللَّهُ بِهَا, which are well within Allah ta'ala's power. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about Fatih Makkah, the liberation of Makkah al-Mukarramah. That although there was a treaty established for 10 years, so at that time to liberate Makkah al-Mukarramah seemed very far away, that it's going to be at least 10 years before we can liberate Makkah al-Mukarramah. And if that happened, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not have even been present, because he left this world before then. But within 2 years, the non-Muslims, they broke one of the clauses. And when they broke one of the clauses, as a result of this, the Muslims conquered Makkah al-Mukarramah. Allah Ta'ala again overawed the Makkans. And likewise, a second benefit was that because of this treaty, the Makkans would come to Medina Munawwara and they had a first-hand opportunity to see the good characteristics of the Sahaba. So because of this community cohesion, many of the non-Muslims embraced Islam. This is why when they left for the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, at that stage, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had called people towards Islam for 21 years. But the number of people that embraced Islam in this 21 years is less in comparison to the number of people that embraced Islam in these 2 years after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. On the occasion of Treaty of Hudaybiyah, approximately 1,500 are leaving Medina. And now 2 years later, when they are leaving Medina Munawwara to liberate Makkah al-Mukarramah, there are between 10 and 12,000 Sahaba. So this is how the numbers grew also. And why did all of this happen? Allah Ta'ala says, وَأُخْرَى. So although Allah Ta'ala is mentioning Fath Makkah here, it means all the other liberations and all the other conquests which will take place until the day of Qiyamah. And Allah Ta'ala says that the reason why the Muslims are able to conquer and liberate other nations and other lands is وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرًا. Allah Ta'ala has power over everything. So all we have to do is ensure that Allah Ta'ala is on our side. And the way Allah Ta'ala will be on our side is if we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the lesson that we learn from the lives of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. We shouldn't make a picture in our minds that this is success and this is failure. Obey Allah Ta'ala, and as a result of this, whatever Allah Ta'ala then decides, that is success. Whether we realize that as success or not, that is success. And we will see the bigger picture after we leave this world in the Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to study the lives of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in and gain inspiration from their great lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to study the Quran. May Allah ta'ala grant us a connection with the Quran, a connection with the lives of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And just as Allah Ta'ala granted them this great ability to practice upon every command of His, may Allah Ta'ala also make us from those who are obedient to Him in every aspect of our life. And just as Allah Ta'ala granted them success in this world also and in the Akhirah also, may Allah Ta'ala also grant us the success of both this world as well as the Akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik Yawm Al-Din. Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Allahumma ashfi.